Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
It is now time for a very the edition of Game Pass, of Movie Pass or Pass, the podcast where we watch movies and then we talk about them. We don't have a fancy intro on this one simply because this is an experimental show. This is a bonus show of a time in our lives when there was something called Movie Pass, and Basher and I saw movies more than anyone should ever see. I saw almost 100 movies with my Movie Pass subscription in a year. You have any idea how many movies that is? It's about 100. But
I mean, he kind of blew the lead there.
But do you have any idea how much time that is? It's about 250 hours. Point is, ladies and gentlemen, Movie Pass is coming back this summer. And that's what we're here to talk about. That's not true. We're going to talk about Batman. I am Corey. I am joined by fellow Movie Pass extraordinaire, Basher.
Good day, sirs.
And when Movie Pass comes back, are we subscribing?
You got dang right we are.
Are we, though?
Listen, I'm a Movie Pass diehard for no reason at all. For all the wrong reasons, actually. It's going to come back as a stupid program that's not going to be very beneficial, but just because it's so dumb, I'm in. And I mean dumb in the sense that when it first came out, it was just ridiculous in terms of the value you got. Someone now has readjusted that value, so it won't be nearly as great. But just the premise alone seems crazy to me. But crazy in a good way. Like, why hasn't this been done 10 years ago?
Oh, I mean, and what's funny is like the history, like that 6 to 12 months of Movie Pass at peak was a magical time. like it truly was, because you would see stories of people using their Movie Pass card just to go to the bathroom, because I guess like in like New York and all these places, like I guess public restrooms aren't a thing. Is that true? Like you have to be a paying customer. So people would just like say they're going to see a movie and just swipe their Movie Pass card, which movies are in New York are far more expensive. A movie here is like $5 to $7. That's if it's a new movie, it's like $9. There it's like $20. So it was a magical time. Anyways, let's talk about the Batman. The Batman is coming from Matt Reeves. This is the first outing of not Christopher Nolan. Wow. What's the word I'm looking for? Robert Pattinson.
Matt Reeves?
Oh. as the Batman. And this is not taking place in the DCEU. This is taking place in its own thing. Has nothing to do with that. Yes. Has nothing to do with The Joker, which also came out. I'm sorry. Joker, which came out a couple years ago and did like $1 billion.
It's not called The Joker?
No, it's just called Joker.
Oh, my the verse has been ruined.
Well, you got one movie in, and so I'm being facetious a little bit. Like, I think this whole DC cinematic universe thing is a mess. I think I'm not alone in that. But the Batman was something that a lot of people were looking forward to. I have never really been sold by the trailers. Obviously the Robert Pattinson casting was a very controversial one. I am a fan of him as an actor, but I was still not super into it. So I went into this one very middle road. I was like, I hope it's good, but the trailers weren't doing anything for me. So how were you feeling before you went into The Batman?
I was optimistic about Pattinson. People forget Batman on screen is always played by someone who you would not expect.
For sure.
I mean, the first, what was, What was he first known for? Was it like
Twilight?
I'm sorry. In Batman 89, the actor, I forgot his name.
Just Keaton? Michael Keaton?
Keaton. Yeah, Keaton was known for Mr. Dad, I want to say.
Right.
Like before he was Batman. And then you had George Clooney, who was ER. Like
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer. Like no one who played Batman, including Ben Affleck, who I thought was a pretty good Batman on screen, in terms of his physicality anyway. No one looked at these people and said, yeah, that should be the next Batman. So the Pattinson casting did not bother me at all. If anything, it was almost expected that they would get a Pattinson or Radcliffe or someone that from something that you're just like, really, that guy? So I went... What didn't sell me was the premise that the film, like the press tour premise, that's the part that didn't sell me. The trailers were just fine. They didn't hype me. They didn't dehype me. They were just fine. I was cautiously optimistic. The thing that tipped me down to dehyping was the press tour. They kept hyping this up as a specific kind of Batman, specific kind of movie, and that got me wary.
The trailers for me always just like it seemed like an overcorrection in many ways, because a lot of people were not happy with Batflick. I understand why. I am a Snyder fan. Maybe if we ever get Movie Pass or Pass fully off the ground, I think we have to do a Snyder cast at some point, just because
I'm okay with that. He made two good movies.
We have already talked off air many hours about Zack Snyder. So maybe once we have to do it on air. I enjoyed the Snyderverse kind of thing, but I understand why people didn't. But to me, the trailer almost seemed like an overcorrection of just like, this has got to be so freaking dark and edgy that because Affleck was just so not that. And I was like, I don't know, maybe. But
I think he was, though. It was supposed to be.
He was supposed to be, right. And so... But honestly, like it was the Batmobile is what really unsold me from the trailers. Like I was just like, I don't really like that. I don't like how it's basically a Mustang with a rear mounted engine. Like I just don't get the.
It was kind of sexy. It was a bit sexy.
It doesn't look bad. I just don't. It just didn't scream Batman to me. There's just something about it that like just because it's dark doesn't mean it's Batman. So that's why. And then the Riddler in all the trailers, I was just like, man, like this just seems like more like a horror movie at times, which is fine. Like, I'm not saying that's bad. It's just it wasn't doing anything for me. So, again, that's just the trailers, though. So we've seen it. We've seen the Batman. How did you feel walking out of the Batman?
I felt really good about
the Batman. I'm sorry. Really quick. Spoilers. We will be having this is fully open discussion. So if you don't want that, somehow you haven't seen this film yet. Yeah, just warning. So, yes, spoilers. We'll be here. So continue. Sorry.
So full spoilers. Bruce Wayne is Batman, just so you guys know.
I can't believe they did that. I just...
Listen. It was a real turn your head moment. Like, I was like, whoa. Really subverted my expectations. Like, it was crazy.
Okay, Ryan Johnson.
That reveal, rather. I walked out feeling very good about
that. That reveal?
Yes. I see what we did there. I felt really good about it. Really did. It reminded me a lot of the... I felt good about it in the same way that I felt good about the Nolan films, the first two. In the sense that they're good films first to me. They don't I would say like to anybody, if like if you take the Dark Knight and remove the character of the Batman and remove the character of the Joker and replace them with any cop and crazy person, it's still a overly effective film. I would say this almost is this, like it's the same vibe here, where this is my kind of movie. It's very slow. It's very methodical. It takes its time for all the good and bad reasons. Going into this movie, my biggest complaint was probably the 3-hour mark. I knew for a fact going in at 3 hours, they're going to spend a lot of time with this movie, and yet still cut short a lot of other things that need that aren't fleshed out. And that's exactly what ended up happening. So the biggest thing that I liked about it is also one of my biggest criticisms. Like it took its time. It was super slow, super methodical, but at the same time, there's a lot of things you could have told. There's a lot of plot points you could have fleshed out during this 3-hour mark that you just kind of did not.
I walked out of it very, it's very meh, very middle of the road. And for very similar reasons of the 3-hour runtime, I'm going to make a bold prediction right now. And I'm going to say that this movie in 10 years, looking back, I think people are going to turn on this movie. Very similar to how people have turned on other superhero movies, like the original Spider-Man. Like the original Spider-Man now, a lot of people don't like it.
Toby? You know,
yeah, the original Spider-Man gets a lot of hate now. Like,
get out of here.
I honestly sort of agree with them in some ways, but that's a different podcast for a different time. I think that comparing this to the Nolan films is nuts. Like in terms of quality, I don't think this comes anywhere near those movies because of there are so many plot threads that happen that don't really serve the greater story. And there's so many plot threads that like, I'm sure I'm forgetting some. And I think there are entire plot threads that could be removed from this film and they don't play an integral part to the entire story. The overall narrative of this Batman, of him being a second year Batman and still trying to figure things out, does not excuse some of the absolutely boneheaded decisions that he makes. And there are very clear moments as the, I don't even really understand what happened some of the time. And there's two moments in particular that stick out to me. The first one is at one point he's chasing down the Penguin and Commissioner Gordon just shows up for some reason at the end too. Like he just like they catch the Penguin and then they were talking about some clue that the Riddler left behind. And then the Penguin's like, it's supposed to be L or something. Like, do you remember the scene I'm talking
yes,
about?
Yes. Yes, exactly. It's the, Umbrella Implata, the bird with wings or something.
Right. What, like, what are you like? There's this big, long, drawn-out scene to get to the Penguin, and the big reveal is that they weren't looking at it as a Spanish conjugation? No, conjugation, that's not the word I'm looking for. What's the word I'm looking for? Is it conjugation?
Not sure.
I don't remember.
Not sure.
But a Spanish, like, they didn't think about it in Spanish? Like, this is the world's greatest detective, and, like, that's what we're going with? Like, there's just a lot of stuff like that. I'm just like, what? Like, I don't, what was the point of this? Like, and I don't think I'm crazy here. Like, I genuinely think that entire thing with the Penguin was utterly pointless.
I thought it served. I thought to your point, like, yeah, like, why not someone realize it might be Spanish? Like, yeah, pretty boneheaded. But I think I would disagree that it does serve the plot. It went out of its way, rather, to serve the plot point of it's not the Penguin that they're looking for.
To me, that says that the Penguin is like, this was a setup for that stupid Penguin TV show. Like that whole plot line exists to set up this TV show, which I guess is fine, but
I mean, I feel think like the it pulls character,
from the narrative.
I think the character itself, I mean, like I heard about that show after I've seen the movie, by the way. I think that was pre-planned. The character being in the movie they already knew it was going to be in the show. Like this whole thing is, you know how this works. They have the show planned out at the same time the movie was being planned out. So I don't think, I didn't feel like it was shoehorned in. I like the Penguin's character in general. And that's, even that scene, like as forced as it was to make, I accept that scene on his face because that was the funny moment for Batman. That was the comedic scene for Batman. For the movie, really. There was, they did not weeden this up at all. The only really lighthearted moment that I could remember that you can chuckle, like, get a chuckle out of was that scene. And it was almost as if you're so smart, like you're so smart, like you're overthinking it type of thing. And then they just kind of leave him there, and him and Gordon have this back and forth banter that I think was humorous. So do you know Spanish Batman? I agree. Pretty dumb. But at the same time, I think the scene serves its purpose.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah, like it that is a very, the comedic effect is there, but I guess it just missed because the film is so freaking serious to a fault in some ways.
Right.
That it missed for me. I will say that the things that I did like, though, like the reason I would not call this bad or like I walked out of it disappointed was just that the look of the film is phenomenal. Like Matt Reeves.
God, I love the look of this film.
Yeah. Like it's the set and the tone is just, I don't want to say it's unmatched. Cause it's not what I want to say, but
he nails it.
He does. It. He really does. And those are the moments of the film. Like, I just wish the whole film was that, like of Batman being in Gotham doing his thing, but there it's so distracted by everything else. Like
I didn't get that.
Really, like, frustrates me. Like
I got it. Like, I watched a friend of mine, my friend Jesse, walked out saying he felt pretty much, he didn't like it for the opposite reasons that you're saying. He felt like it was too much of that. And like, I personally couldn't get enough of it. I mean, I thought this has some of the most, this is like you say in 10 years, people are going to turn on this. I think in 10 years, this is going to have some of the most iconic Batman scenery, on film. I mean, I personally love a few of the scenes, like, well, the way Matt Reeves shot this, the hallway scene where the guys are shooting at him with the machine guns and he's fighting them off. And all you see is the muzzle flashes every few seconds in like different scenery, different position. And it's like, that was just beautifully shot. And I think that was very much a Batman moment for me.
Which I agree entirely, just so you know.
Yeah. I mean, like, and for me, I think I got a lot of those. I got a lot of those moments where Matt Reeves just really lined up a shot very well. Even the rehashed Batman talking to the Riddler or any bad guy in a prison scene.
Right.
You see it all the time. I thought it was done extremely well here. I mean, just the idea that the Riddler's going on and on and on, and he thinks, and he leads even the audience to believe he knows who Batman is, and then it turns out he doesn't. It's like it was a nice moment, and then on top of that, the idea that Batman is face to face with another crazy person, telling him he's a crazy person as well, is like having to fight that off. It goes into that plot point of Batman, that are you creating your own villains? Are you just as crazy as your villains? I think it does. I think they did their homework a lot on Batman. They created a on-screen Batman that I think was pretty fun to watch.
There's a lot there. Everything you said in terms of the movie looking great, that's the stuff that I remember from this film, and because it's so visually striking, and like it's when he finally first shows up, like, he really nailed the Batman in the shadows, like, of how he strikes fear. Like, they did a little bit of that in the Nolan films and stuff like that, but they never really leaned into it. And that's fine. Like, I'm not saying that's a bad thing that those films didn't, but they really leaned into it here. And it shows in a very positive way. But I wonder if there's just a difference of education here, of just like, I know Batman very moderately. Like, I am not a Batman connoisseur. You know, I've seen all the films and stuff, and I watched it as a kid, but I'm not a comic book fan, I'm a comic book fan, but I have not read the Batman comics and stuff. So, like, all that stuff is really cool, and that's the stuff that I want to see. But then it's so jarring, because, like, you talked about the Riddler stuff, and the Riddler stuff is good. However, it all sort of just happens at the end of the film. Like, there's so much buildup to these moments with the Riddler, who's supposed to be the central villain. But there's also this story going on with Catwoman and Falcone and Penguin that, like, I think doesn't serve the plot at all. The best parts of these films is when Batman is sort of being Batman and not just like this guy in a church with that stares at a bomb or is staring at a piece of paper in the Riddler's apartment while everyone else is kind of standing around him. Like, there's just so many moments
I love that scene though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think there's an education thing here that's different, because to me, like, I know that Batman's a detective, but I don't ever get in this film that he's a good detective ever. Like, he's a terrible detective. Like, and he literally stares at bombs while it explodes in his face. And I just don't, there's so something missing here that I just don't, I don't get it. Like, how is he a good detective? I don't get it.
So let me give my interpretation of what I saw, I guess, my point of view rather. So the bomb scene, to me, well, let's take it back even further. So in terms of the education point, Batman, I knew this kind of was going to happen, just overall with people. Batman is much like Spider-Man, and almost only like Spider-Man in terms of comic book heroes, whereas superheroes, where everyone can say, I love Spider-Man, I love Batman, and almost each person can be talking about a very specific Spider-Man or Batman. You have people who can say, I love Spider-Man, but only talk about college Peter Parker or adult Peter Parker or married Peter Parker. Like, he has his eras as well as Batman does. So when you're making a Batman movie, kind of, I think some of the worst attempts you can make is when you're trying to do an amalgam of Batman across the generations, where you should just kind of focus on a certain particular Batman, which I think this movie did well. It focuses on a early Batman that is really bullheaded, brutish, and doesn't yet understand. He's so caught up in his own idea of vengeance, which got corny a bit at the end, but he's so caught up in his idea of having to be mean, having to be vengeful, having to the negative emotion that he in turns does not value his own life. And that shows in the way he handles himself throughout the fights, the acrobatics. Also the bomb scene, like, he doesn't really care about being a hero or saving Gotham at that moment. He doesn't care about his own life. He cares about vengeance and the truth. So taking the bomb in the face, to me, was in character for that Batman, as dumb as it was, because this Batman is bullheaded.
Right, but that completely contradicts the whole Wayne family thing. Like,
he doesn't care about Wayne thing, like in this movie until
right,
the end.
Right.
Like,
but that's what I'm saying. Like through it contradicts, like, I don't, this movie goes in so many directions that I'm having a little bit of trouble of like kind of remembering what takes place when, which obviously is important. Like, I'm not trying to say like that's the, like, oh, it's not the movie's fault that I don't remember parts of it.
It's 3 hours is, long. It happens. Yeah.
So, but I like that whole storyline. One thing I will say is the Alfred stuff is bad.
Alfred's bad.
Yeah. Like that stuff is really bad. And it's just bad filmmaking in terms of like, it's a plot point that sort of starts, you don't really understand it. And then it ends as soon as it starts. It's really strange of just like
3 hours long. You don't have time to have Alfred thing.
Yeah. You have to have Alfred, but that whole thing of just like, my dad didn't care about me. And he's like, well, no, he really did. Okay. Like, I guess my dad did care about me kind of thing. Like, it was just like, whatever. But it sort of contradicts that. Like, I'm very, this is one of the few times that where I didn't need an origin story, but I needed more. I still don't understand exactly what this Batman does, like, or what his plan is. Like, he's got this plan. He's like, he's got this Gotham project or whatever he wants to call it. And he wants to save it, right? Like, and
he does not.
So, like, am I just stupid? Like, so what's the point? Like, what does he want to do?
That's kind of the point, because he does not, because Alfred at the beginning, throughout the movie, actually, when he's in the movie, Alfred is trying to get him to do more Wayne things. Even the new mayor is trying to be like, Bruce, like, let's get this new Gotham project off the ground, me and you. But he does not care about any of that. He thinks he's this Batman at this moment in time thinks he can only make a difference. First of all, he's so selfish that he thinks he can only make a difference. First of all, secondly, he thinks he can only make a difference on the streets of Gotham. He doesn't believe in any of the mayor thing or the Gotham project or what Alfred's talking about. Like, none of that matters to him. So, like, to answer your question, like, what is his overall goal? Like, his goal is to go out there and scare people and be vengeance and do it that way. And like, your confusion and frustration is in that, I think, is the whole kind of point of the character, is like, you're doing this wrong. Like, you're just being a guy that beats up people.
And right. But then why are we here? I don't mean that in a like, I'm not trying to be facetious and be like that open with it, but like the entire first part of the film is him and Catwoman, and Catwoman talking about how she wants to take down, you know, the whatever,
yeah, Coney
the,
and him.
Right. And it's like, and so, but he uses her for like inside information. So like, that completely contradicts what you just said of just like, he thinks he can do it alone, but he has a partner the whole time. And like, their romance is very stupid. Like,
well, I'm not saying he can do it alone. Like,
he thinks he can, like,
he does it selfishly. So like, even during that moment, he's like, he's giving her the contacts and he's giving her the bug in the ear. And she's like, I don't feel safe. I don't want to do this. He's like, just do it.
Right.
So he doesn't have a partner in that moment. He has a tool. And we were supposed to believe by the end that that tool becomes a partner and he sees her as a person. But like, again, in a 3 hour long movie, the relationship between him and Alfred and him and Catwoman is severely underdeveloped.
I want to try to, you know, I'm kind of all over the place right now and I'm trying to not jump around. I just like, I don't feel like we saw different films. I feel like we just have different interpretations of what exactly happened on screen. And to me, it's just frustrating in that I think there's good here. And when you said you compared it to the first two Batman films, like, I saw those films and they're so tight and focused, like, and they're very deliberate. And I think what's missing for me is that Bruce Wayne character. Bruce Wayne's barely in this film. Like, at all, which is fine, but it really represents a contrast and allows a story to be told, especially the Batman story, in an organic way of two sides of the same coin kind of thing, which is, you know, obviously plays into the factor of like Two-Face and everything. Like, it's so, the Batman character is just as important as the Bruce Wayne character. And here it's really not. Like, this is the Batman character. And so maybe it is an education thing, or maybe it's just the fact that I'm waiting to see Bruce Wayne and I don't get to see Bruce Wayne ever, that I guess not ever, but
no, I mean, that's accurate. 3 hour long movie is almost never. And again, I think it's a matter. I think it's just like you said, it's a matter of perspective. I think that is deliberate storytelling, filmmaking from what they wanted to do. He is all but denouncing the Bruce Wayne identity completely, because that duality of Bruce Wayne and Batman, like, as we know, Batman is one of those superheroes where the costume is the real face, and Bruce Wayne is almost the secret identity. It's almost the mask. So,
but that balance is,
it's not here, and it's not supposed
right.
to be.
But
so you're not wrong,
right?
In your frustrations either.
But I argue, like, I don't know. It's, I don't know if it's the film's fault or whatever, but it just, because by the end of the movie, you know, like, they try to have that scene of like him helping the mayor or whatever, like, because he loses, right? Like, he fails and the Riddler wins in terms of flooding the city, and like Batman didn't see it, which, again,
I don't like that part.
Yeah, it really bugs me. Like,
I don't like that.
It super bugs me, the fact that it's just like, oh, the truth was in front of you right along. It's like, how was it? Like, there was no indication at all that the truth was in front of him the whole time. And that style of storytelling, like, it's almost like a Saw ending where it's trying to be like, oh, the truth was in front of you the whole time, you just had to pay attention. And like, it's a very dumb concept, but it works when it works well. Like, the original Saw has an ending like that of just like, oh my God, it was in front of you the whole time. And they tried going for that here, in my opinion, and it just completely whiffs. And so, like, I was just like, okay, fine. And then it's like, so by the end of the film, he sort of seems like it realizes that for him to help the city or whatever, you know, help himself, whatever, he can't do it alone. He's going to have to work with everyone. And it's almost like a freaking duh moment to me. It's just like, well, of course, like, you're Bruce freaking Wayne. Like, I don't.
But he's. So I think we're arguing from a point of view of, we've had 30 years of Bruce Wayne. So you know, so like if you're looking at this from, if you're just, let's say hypothetically, you lived under a rock your entire life, you have no idea who Batman is, you get to learn who Bruce Wayne is in along these next few movies, because this is very much a coming of age tale, in the sense that he, like you said, at the end, he realizes, or he should be realizing, you need Bruce Wayne. Like, you can't do this just as Batman. When you say he needs other people, he needs help, of course he needs the mayor, of course he needs people of Gotham, but to me, when you say that, I think, and you need Bruce Wayne, because you left him, because a lot of this stuff, you could have, like, saved, you could have helped just by being there at the meetings and being at the board meetings and helping people in that way. But all you wanted to do was beat up mobsters. So, like, it's definitely a very early, I look at it like, because the comic accurate story with Batman is Bruce Wayne actually leaves Gotham for an extended period of time, comes back, and then relearns focuses on being Batman, then has to relearn politics as Bruce Wayne. I think this is something that what they're going for, where he needs to learn how to be Bruce Wayne, because I agree with you, without Bruce Wayne, you get an ineffective Batman. And this is, which is kind of what he was for a portion of this movie, where he's kind of ineffective. And it's like, if you had the duality there, you probably could have been more effective.
But that's fair. Like that, I don't want to try to like frame this from the aspect of like, well, what I would have done, because I'm not a filmmaker. But it just, not seeing Bruce Wayne more, but like you said, like they very softly like hint at it that he's a bad rich guy, you know, in the funeral scene. And cause he shows up and like you said, the mayor's like, hey, like let's talk and let's do this. And he's just like, I want nothing to do with it. But I have no connection to this character yet because they didn't do an origin story, which is fine. Like you don't always have to do an origin story, but not ever seeing Bruce Wayne fail or not seeing why he's actually upset. Like, cause there's also the whole storyline of how his family and his father, they did the whole, he was actually a bad guy kind of thing. Like he wasn't the Joker or anything, but he was a politician at heart. But he never knew that until that moment. So it's like, I don't understand why he left. Like why did he leave? Why doesn't he want to help kind of thing? And that's not there. And that's such a crucial part to the Batman story, I feel like. And for them to sort of skip over that entirely and go with this Catwoman story and this Penguin side story.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it's very hard for me to get behind this character at this point and truly understand his motivations other than the fact that he's Batman. Like, and I know who Batman is, and it's almost relying on that.
Exactly. That's exactly the case. Yeah, I agree.
Which I just, even though I know it's Batman, I still need that. I need the Batman Begins. Like I need that. I need to understand this Batman at the beginning of the film, not at the end of the film. I need to understand his motivations, because even at the end of the film, now that I understand that he was, you know, I don't want to say angsty, but
angsty is a pretty on point.
He's so Twilight Batman. Don't hate me. What was I going to say? That it just, I don't know. It just didn't work for me. That style of storytelling just didn't work for me, which is strange because like he did the same thing in that second Planet of the Apes movie. And I really like that movie. Like it's a very strong movie. Granted, it's a lot of characters and not just one kind of thing, but whatever.
Another property where he went into it thinking, well, you know this already, so I can just. Right.
But I think they still had the origin story. Like Planet of the Apes was a very good, like that first film is very different than the other two. Like very different, and in a good way. Like I almost feel like this needs that of, I needed to see why this Batman is just so
I'm surprised they didn't
sad.
Do the,
like
I'm surprised they didn't do the flashback of not the parents being murdered, but rather the plot point of the of his dad saving Falcone's life. I'm surprised they didn't do the flashback scene of that.
Right.
And they just said it.
Right. That whole Falcone thing was really like kind of came out of nowhere. And there's a lot of exposition that's just sort of dumped in like a couple paragraphs. I'm like,
they could have delivered that a lot better.
Yeah.
It all fit in, but they could have delivered it a whole lot better.
Right. You're about to say something and you said about the book.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Just because this story, I feel like is loosely based on plot points of The Long Halloween. So like in the book, like they actually show like a flashback of Thomas Wayne working on Falcone, like as he shows up to the Wayne Manor. So it's like you without Falcone telling you as the viewer or the reader, rather, you get to go, is Thomas Wayne a mobster? Like, isn't he? What's going on here? Why didn't he just do this? So like. The exposition dump, I much prefer visual storytelling rather than let's spend 15 minutes going back and forth about is he a good guy or a bad guy.
Right. And like you said, it was like 10 to 15 minutes. And I genuinely do not remember anything that was said there. And all it really was is just like are rich and politicians bad people? I don't know. Maybe you're the bad guy. Like, okay. Like, whatever. Oh, by the way, I'm also Catwoman's dad, and it's like,
again, that's all like comic book accurate stuff, but it's just thrown in there,
right?
And the thing is, like, it's not even just thrown in there; it's a good plot point, but it's a good plot point. It would be a good plot point if it had more Catwoman weight behind it. Like, as you said before, Catwoman's in this movie and then she's out. Like, she just drives off. Like, it's right. Like, she's just done. Like, after doing hardly anything. And it's like, but that's Falcone's daughter, though. Like, this is big news.
Right.
Like,
and I have no idea why that matters in the slightest. Like,
in this particular story, it really doesn't. Like, right. But again, it would if we got to know Catwoman, I think.
I guess I would have to see how that works, but
I think you would care more. I don't think it would matter to the plot, but you would care more that, now I get why she might be like this or that. Whereas, like, the way it was presented, it was kind of like, Catwoman's important because of this. Okay. And then this just drives off on a motorcycle.
Yeah, I don't. I get very Dark Knight Rises from this movie, in that, like, the Dark Knight Rises is a very flawed film, like, but there's still so many cool moments in it that I can still watch it and have a good time. Like, there's things that drive me absolutely nuts about it. Like, Catwoman in that movie, again, just utterly pointless in many ways. The whole Robin thing in Dark Knight Rises is utterly dumb. Like, he manages to figure out who Batman is just because, like that's what they came up with for that plot line in that movie. Was like, how does he know he's Batman? I just know. Okay. Like, fine, I guess. But that movie also has, like, one of the best openings ever, like, to a movie. It's the scene where Bane and Batman fight underground is just absolutely phenomenal. And it's a very powerful fight that means more. Like, it's not just a fight, you know, like there's so much more to it. And I feel like that with this film. But then, like, whenever people start talking and you start losing focus on the main plot, which should just be Batman and Gotham and this villain, which is where the Dark Knight just shines entirely. It's just like, it's so focused and tight, and it plays on the strengths of those characters. And I feel like there's too much going on. None of the characters really have a chance to breathe. I think there was, like, Riddler ends up being like basically Jigsaw, which I don't think is great. I think I liked it when it was just him, but then, like, it turns into, like, he's kind of like a cult leader in a weird way. And which is kind of funny considering that's how, like, Saw was originally supposed to end, and it didn't end that way, but whatever. I don't know. I came out of it just like, again, I'm not mad at it. It just felt sloppy to me. Like, it's extremely well made in terms of visuals and production and all that, but it just felt very sloppily written and too much going on. Like I said, I'm not mad at it. I'll see the next one, but I don't think it's deserving of the praise that it's getting. I just don't see that movie there.
I'm leaning the other way. The converging plot points in the moving narrative, I think, all serves in a positive note for the movie. I think it was purposefully done. As a movie that's supposed to kind of keep you off balance and kind of just kind of keep you in this kind of Gotham in this movie, to me, felt like a character in and of itself, where it's like, it's very chaotic, it's very bleak, sometimes hopeless. And I got that out of the narrative a lot, where it's just kind of like, you're moving here. Oh, he's involved. Well, how is he involved? So he's not involved. Like, it's a lot of moving around, and it's, I felt like it's Batman just, it felt overwhelming. And if you describe a movie feeling overwhelming, most of the time you can see that as being a negative, but I felt like this almost it was done on purpose. So it's like, I feel like anyway, I'm not trying to excuse this like a Matrix Reloaded or whatever, like a new Matrix movie excuse, like saying like, oh, it's bad on purpose. Like, I think Matt Reeves purposely gave a disoriented Batman who's just kind of in over his head at times. He's on the ball, but he's on the ball. He's never ahead of the ball. He's just always on it or behind it. So he's always playing catch up, and you're playing catch up with the story. You're playing catch up with these characters, and then nothing's fitting quite right at times. And I think that's done on purpose, and I like it for that reason. However, there's plenty of shortcomings in terms of, again, this movie's 3 hours, and even though you wanted to be the plot and plot lines to be hectic and chaotic, at the same time, you could still take some of those hours to build on properly on characters like Alfred, like Catwoman. We got some good Gordon in there. But for the most part, I think I'm with you in the sense that I think you got some good Gordon, just enough Gordon so he can have his own TV show. I think he's getting his own as well. At the end of the day, I feel like a darn good Batman. I'm looking forward to seeing the growth of this Batman, and I'm hoping for a second movie that shows a more learned Batman. Like I will excuse a second year Batman for being a second year Batman. It was entertaining for me, but like I'm almost reminded of your Marvel Spider-Man criticism, like why is he still in high school, like type of thing. Like I don't want this Batman to be stuck in high school. Like this, I think this was a very good outing. I will, however, be completely on your side of the fence if the next movie, which seems to feature the Joker, because it has to.
They can't do that, right?
I hate it. Hate it.
Like,
hate it.
Supposedly that is not going to happen. Yeah, like, but I don't know. Did you, because they did release the scene of, like, there was a scene of him talking to the Joker, and I understand why they cut it now, because I didn't think it was very good. But I don't understand why they added that scene at the end.
It's stupid.
Yeah, because
it doesn't need to happen.
Because it felt like the reason that they originally included him at the beginning was because they're like, look, we're not doing the Joker. Like we're not doing it because it's always going to be compared to Heath Ledger. Like at least for the next 20 years, you know, kind of thing. Like it's still too fresh. The Dark Knight is considered one of the, you know, top movies of all time. Like, and one reason is because of him. Like, and so we're not going to do it. Like the Joker's in here, but he's never going to be the main focal point. Like we've already sort of established that. But that scene at the end does exactly what you said. It makes it feel like that's what they're going to be doing, but they can't.
Have to have the Joker. Batman has the best rogue gallery of all time, only matched by Spider-Man. You're not getting any better than Bat. Like you can do so many characters, so many characters. Like, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm kind of disappointed they even did the Riddler. Like,
yeah,
like they could have started off with a medley of from Calendar Man to Killer Croc almost. Like, it's like you can do anything you want when it comes to Batman. Like, you don't have to go A tier all the time. So if they're not doing the Joker in the next movie, like they're doing Two-Face. It's gonna be someone you already seen. Like it's just gonna be.
Yeah, I feel like that they might be depending on who they pick, they could run into a situation where one villain won't be enough, kind of thing, and that's always where it gets real dangerous real quick. I mean, granted, this movie had more than one villain, but yeah, we'll see. Like I've seen some people saying like this has potential to be like the Batman Begins to the Dark Knight. So like the next film has the potential to be.
That's my overall feeling, to be honest.
See, I do not agree in the slightest. Like there's Batman Begins, like set up not only Bruce Wayne again, but Batman, like it set that up entirely. And you didn't do that yet. Like, the second film was able to focus on that because the first film laid the groundwork so well. And I don't think this movie laid the groundwork nearly as clean and as well as that first film. Like, I think it tried to, I just don't think it got there.
I think it did exactly what they wanted to do. I think they said we're going to focus on a young, brash Batman who doesn't understand the importance of Bruce Wayne, and then I hope to see that growth in the next one where you see him working with the mayor, you see him on the Gotham Project, you see him doing things better as Bruce Wayne. And then, because we already got the Batman part, we're good, so all you gotta do is mature Batman up and give us some more Bruce Wayne. I think it's an easy problem to solve.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just don't think the next film is going to be the one. I think it would be the third one. I think the last film will be the one for this one. And granted, I mean, I'm sure that's how Nolan wanted Dark Knight Rises to be. But, you know, will we ever know what the actual plans actually were if Heath Ledger didn't die? Maybe, maybe not. Was it going to always be Bane? Maybe, maybe not. Like, tough to say. But I'm sure he never intended for the Dark Knight to be the crescendo, or, you know, the high point of the franchise. So we'll see. I mean, again, like I know I probably came off sounding negative. Like, I did not hate the film by any means. I just thought it was okay at best and very messy. I told myself I probably would never watch it again, but I don't know. I might. Like, if I find a good deal on a 4K disc, like, I think this would be one that would be awesome to watch. You know, I've got a really nice home theater setup.
It looks and sounds so amazing.
I know.
I'm in.
Exactly. I'm in. Yeah. Like, that's, I would watch it again in that instance. Like, I would need a reason to. And if I get a, you know, like I said, good 4K disc, I'm a huge 4K disc person. So I'll watch it for that reason again. And who knows, maybe it'll hit better the second time. But
I mean,
part of
the reason I also just really enjoy my time with it is because Marvel has been such a behemoth in terms of like what's acceptable superhero content now. And DC has been screwing up the dark, edgy stuff for so long. It just really felt refreshing to watch a movie about, lack of a better word, a mature take on a character, a superhero character that plays it on his face without quips and jokes and just absurdity. Like, it felt like you just spent 3 hours just hanging out with Batman.
That's fair.
I'm just like, it was just a breath of fresh air for me. And just like, it worked in that sense.
Yeah. I could see that take. Like, yeah, like it's definitely different, you know, like from what we've got for the past 10 years kind of thing. You know, cause like you had the Snyderverse, which was dark, but it was dark in a comic book way.
Exactly.
Yeah, this was very much just a dark film, you know, and not like literally and metaphorically. So yeah, I could see that. We'll see. I just don't have a lot of faith in DC. Like, I genuinely don't. I should say
who
Warner.
Does?
I should say
who
Warner.
Does?
Yeah. Again, and I say this as a fan. Like, I like the DC movies more than a majority of the Marvel movies, honestly. Like, so I'm one of those people, but I still that I do not have faith in them in the slightest. So I'm very curious what they're going to do with Joker. And I don't mean the Joker in this film. I'm talking about
what I was going to ask you, like, yeah. How does this even work now? Because I mean, in a way I applaud them for just making good movies at this point. Like, don't worry about how it's going to intertwine or about making your Avengers movie. Just make good movies, call it a day. Like, I applaud that, but it gets, at this point, even I'm confused. I spent 45 minutes explaining to a friend just the Marvel Spider-Man movies.
Right.
Like,
I absolutely love that joke of like, so do I have to see Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, Spider-Man 1, 2, Spider-Man 1 and 2 to understand Spider-Man 3? Like,
yeah, like, no, it's that exactly, is exactly like, what it is.
That is like the best tweet I've ever seen in my life.
Like, no, but we legit spent a half an hour because she's like, I watched the, I've seen this one already. Like, did you so we're on Far From Home. Like, no. Like, I didn't see that one. You're like, but you said you did. Like, but I saw the one with Jamie Foxx. I'm like, which one?
Yeah. Which time? Yeah.
So I was like, that's definitely going to be at the top of my concern because I felt like they were just making good movies. Like a Joker, like whether or not you like them or where you're at, like compared to their previous stuff, they just made the Joker, which is a standalone good movie. Batman, standalone good movie. Then it's like, now the Joker's getting a sequel. And then on top of that, the Batman's getting several TV spinoffs.
But they still haven't like confirmed the sequel to this, which is
very strange.
Right. Which is like, but they technically, if I remember correctly, they have not actually like confirmed the Joker 2, right? Like they said that it's on the docket, but they haven't like committed to like a filming schedule, like, you know, anything like that. Like, oh no, like it's on the table. Like that doesn't
see, which scares me more because I'd prefer them to say at the time of Joker release, Joker 2 coming soon.
Right.
As opposed to waiting to see how the Batman goes and then reevaluating Joker because now my conspiracy brain goes, oh, so now you're trying to sneakily rebuild this universe, aren't you?
Which I don't know. I guess spoilers for the Joker. Like, it was super weird when that was coming out, and they were just like, no, this does not lead into the Batman at all, like you said. But then it's just like it directly like had the scene. Like it had the scene of Batman being born. And it's just like, why did you do that then? Like, I don't, again, it's just messy. And that's just Warner at this point of just like, just, it shouldn't be this difficult. just do it. Like, I don't understand why you're making this so hard. And it's, I don't know. And they've got
some good movies. Just make
right.
Movies.
And they're leaning on the Flashpoint for reasons that everyone knows.
Right.
Just like you've screwed this up beyond belief now. And so you're going to get a reset to try and redo it. And I do enjoy the aspect of Michael Keaton being sort of the Nick Fury of it. But at the same time, it's like, you're still just doing what Marvel did, but now you're sort of getting greedy by being like, well, what if we did both? Like, what if we had a cinematic universe where everyone crossed over, like, because people love that. And they love to do the Leo DiCaprio and point at the screen meme. Like, oh yeah, that's cool. But we also want to make great movies. It's like, why not just do one? Like, you can do all that and still have a universe and not have it be so freaking complicated and stupid. Like, I don't, yeah, it's rant over. It's just a mess, but
that's my only concern that's my biggest concern coming out of the Batman. It's overall, I think it was a good movie. And I like the approach of just making good movies, letting directors do their thing. I look forward to the next Matt Reeves movie. However, I just, Warner Brothers, bro. Like, it's like
mess.
Sharks in the water right now. Like, Joker, critical acclaim. Batman, critical acclaim. What's the next best thing?
Right. Batman, this is not a slight against the Batman because, like, whatever. But it's like, the Joker did over $1 billion. And it looks like Batman's not going to come anywhere close. Like, and that's crazy to me.
Like, that's nuts.
Like, what are we doing here? And so then, like, I get these weird Sony vibes of just like, are they actually happy with this?
Yeah, I don't think they are. I don't think suits are.
Right. Like, I think they thought this was going to be $1 billion easy, and it's not. Like, I'm not making that up, right? Joker did $1 billion, right?
I'm going off your word. If it did a billion, like you can look it up real quick. We have the power of the internet.
We have the technology. Fingertips. Yeah, Joker became the top-rated film of all time, box office topping 2018's Deadpool 2. Is the first now R-rated film to pass 1 billion in the box office. The Batman box office. Okay, it might. It's probably not going to reach a billion. It's at 627 million.
Okay, so it'll hit 8 by its
probably. Run. Yeah, maybe 750 that's
not
maybe.
Bad. Yeah, that's not bad. Okay. So it's not a billy, but at the same time, so they'll be more than happy with it at that point.
Right. So but they also do have kind of the, I guess it's not a terribly great argument for it, but of just like it's hitting HBO Max like relatively quick too. I think they announced it not too long ago. The Batman late April. So I mean, less than a month. April 19th.
Oh, that's very close. Yeah. And not to prolong this review or any longer than it already has been, right. But it goes to show Warner Brothers, like if you just make good things that people like you don't have to force Snyder to change his vision. You don't have to.
Right.
You don't have to spend millions to CGI a mustache out. If you just let people make good movies and fall through with their vision, even maybe you'll be fine.
Right. I look at Man of Steel and it's like the reason we're in this situation is because Man of Steel didn't do a billion.
Exactly.
Like that. Right. That's where this whole thing started. That was the start of this entire new DC resurgence, and we're still kind of here. like the movies that made a billion, Aquaman and Joker. Like that's the world we're living in.
but when you think about it, it makes perfect sense.
It does, right? It does.
You have a comic book movie that is 100% a comic book movie. It's what Marvel does. It just makes comic book movies. Like they wear bright costumes, they do stupid stuff. It's comic books. And then on the other hand, you have the Joker, which is an extremely R-rated character. And you just said, just do the Joker. Like, just let the characters, like, it's just so frustrating to me. Rant over. It's frustrating to me that how DC has arguably the better characters and it just won't let them freaking breathe on screen.
Right. It's yeah. All right. That's going to do it. So thank you for joining us for this review on The Batman on this bonus episode. I guess we'll kind of reveal it here. To all 150 of you. We've talked about it, but Basher and I are getting pretty close. We think we're going to launch the movie side of the podcast. Instead of doing these bonus episodes, we're going to be doing Movie Pass or Pass. Again, not confirmed. It's likely going to happen, but we still haven't quite figured out a format. We don't know if it's going to be more free form. The original idea was like with Game Pass, what if we just like watched a movie because Movie Pass is coming back? We had talked about doing this before the Movie Pass announcement happened. And then it was almost like, oh my God, Movie Pass is coming back. We have to do it now. Right. But then like, as we've sort of talked it out and talked about it, it's like, we don't really like to see a lot of stuff that's coming out on the Hollywood. Like we see some of the stuff, but like Morbius, not seeing that.
I can skip that one.
Yeah, like I have zero desire to see that. And like but that's what we should talk about, right? Like if we're talking about a new movie podcast. So we don't really want to do that. Like with Game Pass, we just want to play games and review them and we want to put a spin on it. And with the Movie Pass or Pass, it's a little more difficult because it's not like there's a library. You know, the idea of Movie Pass is you could go see whatever there is. So I don't know. We'll see. But we kind of just want to talk about movies, and that's why we do these bonus episodes. But it almost makes more sense to spin it out to its own thing. So when it comes to the future, the next movie we're going to do, I have no idea. We were talking about stuff. So
yeah, I mean, we may do a series. Obviously, always willing to take requests.
574-651-9256. You got a request.
Yeah, I mean, because I just don't. Because it's like you said, we just want to do the ones we want to play the games you want to play. We want to watch the movies you want to watch. So like we could definitely, I could definitely see us skipping something like a Morbius. But
Sonic 2, though, already got my tickets.
Are you serious? Like,
legitimately.
I don't know if you're joking, but I'm pumped.
I am super. I'm so excited.
Did you see that trailer?
I did.
Did you see? That's a good trailer. That's a good trailer.
I am pumped. I went out and bought a copy of Sonic on 4K. Just like that first Sonic movie is fine.
Listen, I love it, but it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a fine movie. I'm gonna watch that movie in anticipation, and it's gonna be a better movie. Just because of the anticipation. I'm super excited to
Tails
watch RIP's Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. Knuckles should have been being Knuckles.
I already know the end. We all know the end of that movie. If you know anything about Sonic, you know exactly how that movie's going to end. Still don't care.
We're getting Super Sonic on the screen.
Does Shadow show up? Who's next?
No. You can't skip it. You got to go Metal first. You gotta go Metal first. You can't go straight to Shadow.
But they skipped Metal Sonic and went to Knuckles.
You can't go straight. Robotnik has to create, unless Robotnik creates, put them together. Have Robotnik create Shadow in some way.
I could see it. We'll see. All right, that's gonna do it for this episode. We're super excited about Sonic. We'll see you next time, some point, with a movie.
Good day, sirs.